we was talking about Sabrina. There is no point in pretending like that's not what we were talking about. We're talking about Sabrina Ionescu's shot the other night, game 4 of the WNBA Finals tonight, begging for a game 5 to get back out there in Brooklyn, man. But this has been a I need a magical ending to this magical season, man. Give me 2 more. I don't care who wins. Just let me get the links, get this one tonight, and give me that final game in Brooklyn later on in the week.
Yeah, I selfishly want a game 5 so it could be out here and I could go. It's I was talking about it with some guys after the last game. The margin of error for the Lynx is so small, though.
Like, yeah,
the way you can play, you look at the game day one and it, what had to happen to do that, and then now look at what they lost. And you're talking about 1-2 shots down the stretch and like very small margin of error. And if they go to overtime, you don't necessarily feel comfortable with the way they had to churn out buckets so much. So I hope there's a game 5. If you're the Liberty, though, obviously you want to. The champagne's in the building.
Oh, yeah.
You want to celebrate what a champagne's.
And that's tough, though. That's tough when the champagne is there, like, because you know it's there. Like, you, they try to hide it, but you know it's there. And
yeah, no, that's, I've been saying that for forever. I love seeing how players operate when the champagne's in the building. And what we mean is, like, there can be a celebration tonight. It's somewhere in the Target Center tonight. It's not in the locker room yet. They don't got the rope up, the tarp up yet, but you know it's there. You want to take advantage of that opportunity. But if you're the Lynx, look, we got home court. We take this one game at a time. We've already beat them on their home court, so we win this game. You know, one game for the title is all we could have asked for in the beginning of the season back in March. So let's lock in. Let's make it happen. I feel like they feel like they got the best player in the series. They've shown they can hang with them over and over. It seems like they can get a dribble drive whenever they feel like with Courtney Williams, and they've been running that pick and roll and finding that space. So there's stuff to do, but I do think the margin of error is small. They didn't have to play a great game. The scary part is it doesn't feel like the Liberty's played a complete game yet.
It doesn't. Yeah, that is the scary part. It doesn't. But what I wonder with that, Eddie, is are they capable against this team? Because if there's a matchup out there, even more so than the Aces, if there's a tough matchup out there for New York, it's Minnesota. Like from the bigs to the guards, and maybe even most importantly, they ain't scared of nothing.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're not afraid to go 5 out. Putting Nafisa Collier at center, say, look, we're gonna guard Stewie with Fee. We take away that pick and roll. Now you gotta run it through Jonquil. And it's the funny part is the 2 games of Liberty pulled out late, it was running pick and roll with Sabrina Ionescu and Jonquil Jones. So they want that. They prefer that than the ball in Stewie's hands. But yeah, Minnesota's not scared of them. And if they are hot to shooting tonight and Fee has a better night, you know, we're going to be playing next week. We're going to see a game 5. I'm going to get my wish, and maybe I'll get to go and see what happens.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. I'm with it. We were talking during the commercial break about just getting this preseason over, man, getting to the regular season and start to see, you know, real hoops jump off. What league pass teams are you tapped into this year?
I want to see Memphis. I feel like Ja has become weirdly one of the more underrated players in the league, and there's plenty of reasons. We just didn't get to see him a lot last year. He's got his own stuff that he went through to kind of like, you know, turn people out of his favor. But I want to see them for sure. I want to see Zach, the big fella. I'm a big fan of him. It's one of those guys where I don't like to be the die on the hill guy, but 7, whatever he is, and soft touch post game. Like, I don't know why we overthought that. And somebody was like, well, he went number 9. It's like, yeah, but look at who went 1-2 and like,
oh,
come on.
Man, it is so, draft looking a little rocky.
I selfishly want to see him get his stuff off, but I want to see Ja play. I want to see Ja look great again. I'm interested in the Suns, obviously. I want to see the Kings. They've had a little bit of rocky preseason, but I want to see how they put all that together. This De'Aaron Fox contract thing, I'm curious. Like, I know the math says wait and then go get your money later. It's just the wording with some of this reporting is like, what are y'all saying?
So I ask you that. Do you think the wording is intentional? Do you think the wording is from De'Aaron? Or do you think this is just – it's we're just reading too much into it and there ain't really nothing there? Because to me, this story has been less than nothing. Like, it's just not a big deal. Like, you said it right. Just from a math perspective, it makes sense for him – to try to play it out one more year. The real issue becomes if he doesn't make it. because then you're entering the final year of your contract, and no one, I don't think De'Aaron wants to play out the final year of his contract. I don't think Rich Paul wants him to play out the final year of his contract. And I know the Sacramento Kings don't want him to play out the final year of his contract. They want him to be here long term. So I think the only concern really with De'Aaron not signing that deal is, what if he doesn't make it? Then what do they do? All parties, yeah, I mean, what do they do?
It's a bet on yourself moment, right? He's essentially betting that he can win an award or make first or third, second, third team, or he won't get hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's a safe bet. I mean, we don't know the true relationship between him and the front office, him and Vivek, Clutch and Vivek, all of that good stuff. You would assume the Kings want to keep their homegrown star. They let one go. They made that decision, and that's, I would assume that's part of the thought process too. Like, we chose him over Halliburton in a sense. We don't want to go through this again, blah, 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 blah. But it is kind of a non-story in a sense where if he makes it through the season healthy, he has a contract waiting for him. You know what I mean? Just because he's playing smart with the Mav, it doesn't mean he wants to leave Sacramento. He's given no indication that he wants to. And at the end of the day, we could make Clutch and Rich Paul the big bad wolf all we want. The way they make the most money is they get him the most money, and the most money still will be at home. So I think it's a little bit of a non-story. We're seeing a lot of guys kind of drag out the contracts quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The story came up today with KD because his deadline's today as well. You watch what the Rockets are doing with their young guys. They haven't extended Jalen Green. They haven't extended Alfie. You push it as far as you can. You want to see what the cap is going to be with the new TV contract and all this stuff. But I do think it's a non-story. They pay Domas. They're making win-now moves. You're not letting De'Aaron Fox walk out of that arena, out of that city, younger than 30 years old, all-NBA, all-star guy. Like, you don't do that.
You think De'Aaron is like the one? Like, is he one of them guys? Like,
yeah,
I think so. I mean, build everything around De'Aaron Fox.
I think so. And you just look at how the league is played, and you look at the improvements he's made, even his shooting from three, and he's mm-hmm. taking more, he's making more, he's making a higher clip, all this stuff. But you look at how the league is played, like, ball handling, shot creation is the absolute premium in this league, especially as you get into the playoffs. Look at what we watched in the playoffs last year. Look at who we vote for MVP. Now, I know Jokic won it, but he's similar to that. He drives, he gets the ball in the paint, essentially, and then creates offense from there. De'Aaron's great at that. He cares on defense. Like, this is what you want from a franchise player. So, yeah, I do think he's one of those guys. I think the comp – I got in trouble, like, 2 years ago arguing about who's more valuable right now in the trade market, Kyrie or De'Aaron Fox. And people got mad because I said De'Aaron Fox. But, again, you look at – I think a good comp would be, like, Jalen Brunson. Not just because they're left-handed, but the way they're able to create offense in that way – and how much of a premium that is and how far you can go with a team if you put the right team around that type of guy. So have we got to see it just yet? I mean, we've got to see one playoff series, and he had ups and downs, but he had his moments too. But I do think he is that high level a guy. And again, it's about putting him with the right team.
It's funny you brought up Jalen Brunson. We were talking about him earlier this week. You know, these lists come out, these ESPN top 100 lists, all these different things. And it's all good. Like, his content, like, we look at it, we have some fun with it. But the idea that Jalen is, like, on an entirely different tier than De'Aaron is pretty wild. Because when you look at De'Aaron Fox's numbers in this incarnation, we'll call it the Mike Brown incarnation of the Sacramento Kings, and you look at Jalen Brunson as a New York Knick, they're nearly identical. Mm-hmm. They're virtually identical. The difference, as you just kind of alluded to, the difference is Jalen kept doing it in the playoffs. And Jalen ramped up in the playoffs. We saw De'Aaron ramp up, but unfortunately it came to an end after seven games. We always wanted De'Aaron to have that Ja Morant start to his playoff career. Like, Ja's career, like, Ja's numbers went nuts when he got to the playoffs for the first time, and they never came back down. Like, it was like, that's him as a player now. That's what De'Aaron did. And then, you know, last season kind of petered out, and then of course they wind up missing the playoffs, and Domas is the only starting five guy who misses the playoffs, which was brutal to watch. But the comp between Jalen and De'Aaron, I think, is spot on.
Yeah, when you talk around the league, it's when you're talking about star level, then you all-star, then all-NBA, and you go up through these tiers, it's always about consistency. Yes, playoffs matter, but it's about consistency, keeping it, you know, some players can be great for a quarter. Some players can be great for a game. Some guys can do it for a week, a month, a season. And that's what separates guys. And you want to see that deep, long run. And we're not even talking finals, conference finals. JB earned his bones first round, second round series. You know, he just saw me hurt. I think the same is for Halliburton. You know, we were kind of, let's see what we see. And in game seven on the road, he has a great game. And I'm not the biggest Halliburton fan there ever was. But it got to the point where it's like, yo, he's drilling these with all the marbles and in that arena against that team and the wings they're throwing at, like at some point to that. And I think if De'Aaron has that moment, he'll get the hat tip from a lot of people who aren't paying as close attention. Mm-hmm. But around the league, you know, scouting reports start with De'Aaron Fox when Sacramento comes to town.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We had this conversation earlier this week. If you were making a list of great players, which one of these two would be ranked higher? The two players you just mentioned, Jalen Brunson or Tyrese Halliburton?
So I did a list. Jalen was higher.
Okay.
I think he was 15th and De'Aaron was 25th. But like, it's like a similar tier of player. Like the group of players amongst that group was Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, Tyrese Halliburton. I think Paul George was the next player after De'Aaron Fox. So like, Bam Adebayo's in there, like that tier of player. So we're talking about an all-star tier level of player. Again, I think it's splitting hairs at that point. Mm-hmm. We talk about all four of those point guards, mm-hmm. right? Mitch, who has been further in the playoffs than Jalen and De'Aaron. Trae, who's been to a conference final, so I think it's gotten crazy underrated as well. But you're talking about guys who are giving you similar stuff, and I think in the right situation can go that far. But that didn't includes De'Aaron, like De'Aaron with the right amount of defense around him and shooting. And, you know, if De'Aaron has the stuff that Jalen has in New York last year, you know, who's to say he can't make a similar run? He can't beat a Philly. He can't go head to head with Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey also, I think, is right in that group as well. Mm-hmm. And he's the youngest of the bunch. He's incredible to me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think, look, we're talking rankings and you got to pile them all on top of each other versus tiers. They're all in the same tier. They're all the same type level of player. And there's an elevation still for them, kind of like what we seen with Anthony Edwards last year, something along those lines. But they're right there.
You brought up your boy, KD, earlier in the extension deadline and all that. Didn't Woj, before he retired, didn't he say he going to the Rockets?
You know, I'm a little biased in the Scoop Wars, but that was a fun summer. I mean, going back to the wording of the
He's never mentioned it again either. He was just like, no. Rockets and Kevin Durant, and then just dipped.
Going back to the De'Aaron Fox reports, like, you know, these scoops come from somewhere and they're strongly worded from somewhere and they're meant to paint certain pictures and the reporters are doing their job. I don't blame them. You know what I mean? If somebody comes to you and says it with good authority, hey, the Rockets would love Kevin. Of course the Rockets would love Kevin Durant. So would the 76ers and the Miami Heat and the Sacramento Kings. It's on you to then report it and what that paints, and you're trying to sell the draft and you're trying to sell your free agent show. And there's reasons to report that and say hit the KD button, right? KD might get traded on draft night. Tune in. Who knows? It's the same for De'Aaron Fox. Like, to say De'Aaron Fox hasn't signed an extension yet is not necessarily big news, but to kind of push it as like, yo, Clutch is fully exploring his options, and you know Clutch, their guys, they get up and they go. That's a more clickable story. So it's kind of the same thing, but it's, you know, you read between the lines a little bit, you follow the media game, you understand it more and more.
Well, we'll shift gears here for a minute because you're talking about reading between the lines. The Davante Adams trade finally happened. So Davante is out of Los Angeles. He's in your backyard now. He's playing for the Jets. This felt like the dumbest, most open secret. Like, this is the, I mean, the Davante Adams to wherever Aaron Rodgers was feels like it became a conversation the second Davante landed in Oakland. But does Davante deserve any heat for the way that this thing ended with the Raiders?
I mean, as a Raider fan, sure, you know, but I think we talked off air before. We can talk about it now. We talked off air in the summer. Like, Yeah, the word is. It goes left. He's out of here.
Yeah.
And so it's not all that surprising that business is business. I think it does look a little crazy when you watch the show and him and A-Rod have dinner and it's all this stuff. And then whatever happened with him and Coach Pierce, does he deserve smoke? I mean, I guess, but it's only so much smoke I can give for a guy running out the building that's on fire. Sure, you know,
and that's a good point.
And so it's, you pay a receiver that much, that's a win now move. And the point is to then bring in a quarterback. And you, I mean, I guess you thought you had it with Derek Carr when you did that. But when you let go of Derek Carr, his guy, and the big reason why he came, you understand it's a ticking time bomb. He gave you a season with nothing, and he was not going to give you a second. So I don't blame him. I mean, ideally they get the second or the third or whatever it is that pick tops out at. The funny part to me is it's not like the Jets are just – this incredible team. They have their own issues as well.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't like Aaron Rodgers though, so I would be blinded. I would be blinded if the Jets had like all pros everywhere. I'd be like, yeah, their quarterback is ass. I don't like him, so I just hope that they fail.
It's hard to not notice that he's just not the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you wonder if he's going to get better as the season goes along. It actually does feel like he has gotten like a little bit better. His mobility is so bad though, like he cannot move.
That's the thing, is Devontae gonna keep him upright?
Yeah,
because if Devontae can't keep him upright, he's gonna be on receiver season two complaining just as much about being open and not getting the ball because Aaron Rodgers is tackled. So that's tough. I mean, the injuries pile up. You're talking about a 40-year-old quarterback who's getting hit a lot. Who knows what comes of that team? It's not a Super Bowl standout to me.
You brought the
Bills, but look how they lost. Look at the flaws they have that caused them to lose that game.
Yeah, and they got a lot of them, man. It's not just one. You did say something, though, that I feel like enough people don't pay attention to, and I thought this was the case with Devontae because everyone would ask the question. One of the talking points leading into the trade from the Las Vegas perspective was, if you're trading Devontae Adams, what does that mean for your season? Like, are you tanking it? Like, what are you doing? And to me, it didn't mean anything. Like, you don't have a guy who can get him the ball. Like, you're not actually losing a weapon. It's like you threw a bullet away because you don't have a gun. And that's what Devontae is. Devontae is the bullet. They don't have a gun to fire it. And so trading him meant nothing.
You didn't have him for the last couple of weeks. You know what I mean? And you had a game where you felt like you were fine without him. You won without him. Not to say he's not a great player or a difference maker, because I think he is. I don't even think this was like an addition by subtraction type of thing either, but it's like, it's a negligible move in the now. It's like you're going to look into trading him this summer anyway. You're going to look into figuring out what to do with him anyway. He's disgruntled. He's clearly disgruntled. He's joking about it on the way out. He's got his shoes ready already the minute he's been in New York, like all this stuff. So
that man was on Pat McAfee's show. He showed up behind Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show. That was crazy.
Yeah, so it's one of those negligible moves. I don't know if it's the sign of the tank, but now if they trade Max Crosby, which people are trying to make it sound like they're thinking about going, that's the beginning of the tank. But, I mean, when I asked around, it sounded like that's not the issue at all. He's disgruntled as he should be, but he's showing up every week. He's trying to turn it around. I think, you know, Max has a connection to the city and just his lifestyle in general. He don't really want too much change. Now, he don't want to lose. He said that outright. He's not here to rebuild. But I think you have some time with that situation. End of the day, and we talked about this on this show, until you figure out the quarterback, there's nothing really to talk about in Las Vegas. You can't really evaluate that team while you're trotting out. Well, it's not XFL no more. It's UFL-level quarterbacks every week. And that's all due respect to those guys. But look at the division they're playing in. And you can't can't win in this league without a quarterback. Gone are the days of the Trent Dilfer run to the Super Bowl with the great defense. It's just not happening.
Yeah, now all of a sudden you got Bo Nix emerging as like a serviceable quarterback for Sean Payton. You got Harbaugh down there with Herbert, and then of course you got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and you're Antonio Pierce looking around at Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Like, that's a failure from that organization. But we knew that though. We knew that when they signed Gardner Minshew. We knew, like, this isn't going to cut it, and it's put Antonio Pierce in a spot where he looks crazy, and that's what I'm concerned about. AP looks crazy right now, six weeks into this season, and they've got to – I mean, if it's all good in the walls, that's all that matters. If it's all good within the walls of where the Raiders are, then that's fine. you'll navigate all this stuff publicly. But right now, man, it looks tough. And yeah, you got to figure out the quarterback spot for sure. But you got to make sure that AP is your guy moving forward, because you don't want to pull the plug on this next year. Like, if you are, if you have concerns about Antonio Pierce as your coach, that plug's got to be pulled this year. Like, that's got to, that, that plug's got to be pulled after week 18. And then you take the steps to get better. But you got to have a, either a full commitment or a complete withdrawal from Antonio Pierce, one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's been a main situation for the Mark Davis Raiders since he took over this team. Look at the amount of coaches they've had, interim and full time, and the quick turnover for those coaches and how willing they were to do that and go with the next hot topic and do whatever. And they need stability in that organization, both with the coach and the president slash GM slash front office in general. They haven't instilled any of that, and they've tried different versions. They try to import the Patriots cast offs over. They tried the John Gruden situation with the TV guy. And then all, like, they need stability there, which also means you need to sit it out while you go through the rough times and figure out what's what and get your quarterback. At the end of the day, you got to have a quarterback in this league. And historically, there's only a couple ways to do that. You don't, free agent quarterbacks don't grow on trees. And when they do, they're very expensive, and they can be worth it if you get the right one. You look at what Kirk Cousins is doing in Atlanta. He's making them a playoff team. They look like a bona fide team. Maybe they're not a title contender, but it's a team that's going to show up every Sunday and compete. So you're either going to do that, or you're going to draft top five. Historically, you're going to draft top five, have a great quarterback. You'll get really lucky. You strike on somebody late fourth, fifth, sixth round, but that only happens once a decade, essentially. Mm-hmm. So you either got to be really bad and just draft high, and you want Shadur, whomever it is you want coming out this year, or you got to hit free agency. But you look, like, great starting level quarterbacks don't just come available in free agency, because usually we have them, we pay them, we keep them here, and we move on.
Yeah,
so,
right.
They got to figure that out, and I don't think they have the answer just yet.
You feel like you know who the best team in football is right now?
I mean, it's the Chiefs. I mean, it's they're the champs, and they just – going back to stability, look at what they built there. There's just something to that continuity and to the confidence they always seem to have on the field, like in any situation. We never watched them on third and 10 like, oh, this is hopeless.
You know right. what I mean?
We never watched them on fourth and one and be like, oh, what are they going to do? We always feel like they got a chance. And it's not just the quarterback. It's the offense. It's Andy Reid. And now it's their defense. Somebody had a tweet the other day that said he's won a Super Bowl. He didn't have a first down for 30 minutes. So it's like now they got the defense to compete with that. So, I mean, I think it's them. I think they're kind of like the Patriots of the last generation, where I'm only going to care so much about the regular season. There's always a confidence with them, and they're going to get home field, and you got to go there and beat them. So to me, it's still them right now.
Yeah, when you talk about, I'm with you 100%. Like, it's fun watching the Vikings and the Lions and some of these other teams. But when you're talking about a team that won the Super Bowl last year and you're complaining about them winning ugly, their wins aren't pretty enough, that gives me a pretty good inclination that that's the best team in football. They're not winning pretty enough. They're 5-0. They literally haven't lost, but they're not winning pretty enough is the argument. Nah, they're just fine.
I would love them problems. And at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is – he's as great as advertised. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this as a Raiders fan, who I had to watch that show to be like, you know what? I kind of get it. But he's as great as advertised. His arm is great. His decision making is improved. He knows that offense, the only offense he's ever known as a pro, and he's just figuring it out. Like you said, it's almost more impressive to win ugly, you know, than had they been racking up 500 yards and 400 yards passing and just running up and down the field.
Yeah.
They lost their number one running back and number one receiver 2 weeks into the season, and they're still 5-0. Nobody scares me as far as them yet. I do really like Detroit, though. I'm happy you mentioned them.
Yeah.
And I do like what the Vikings are doing. Got to see a full season of Sam Darnold to earn the full trust, but, man, they got a lot going over there. So I think that's the cream of the crop. I like Baltimore a lot. You can't count them out for me. But – you know, as a Lamar truther, I still want to see, like, that great playoff run from Lamar too.
I do too, but Lamar might be looking at his third MVP right now. Like, I don't know that there's a player in the league better than Lamar Jackson right now.
You know, it's funny, bro. Like, we came up so long and, like, yo, the quarterback need to be a statue in the pocket and don't run it up. And now we watch how effective these guys are running and how important it is. It's like, yo, what? Why did we overthink?
Well, that quarterback you just described is dead. Like, that quarterback does not exist.
We don't want no parts of that quarterback right now. Even you look at somebody like Jared Goff. Jared Goff is like a quick decision maker. He's not standing in the pocket for a long time. And even when he does have to move around a little bit, he can get you a little 8-yard scamper and get down, you know?
Yeah. Eddie, appreciate you, brother, man. Thank you, as always, for spending time with us.
Yes, sir. See you next week, man.
Yeah.